Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
These last few weeks have been, you know, a big help for me just to, get around the veteran guys, learn from them, learn from guys like Andy, guys like Nick. They've taught me a lot. And, just getting around my teammates and getting reps in with them. And I think, you know, the more reps that I get, the more reps, you know, in practice that I have, I think the more I'll grow. So, these last few weeks have been great, and I've definitely learned a lot, and I think I've definitely progressed each and every day. So.
It's QB2. Bears quarterback Justin Fields speaking from minicamp the other day in Lake Forest. I'm Mark Grody. It is the Rosenblum and Grody Show. It's a Rosenblum and Grody Express, and on those days, we don't have Steve Rosenblum. You just have me, Mark Grody. We've got Cubs baseball coming up at 12:45, Cubs hosting Miami. Jake Arrieta getting the start against Pablo Lopez after the Cubs lost to the Marlins yesterday 10-2. Cubs still one game up on Milwaukee in the National League Central. Got what Mark Hurd coming up here in just a little bit, but we're talking Bears right now with Eric Edholm of Yahoo Bears Sports. You can find him on Twitter at Eric_Edholm, Edholm. Good seeing you the other day, Eric. How are you, man?
Yeah, talking twice in 3 days. That's pretty good for us.
Amen, dude. Yeah, I got to roam the practice sidelines with Eric Edholm the other day, watching the Bears minicamp in Lake Forest. And I said, I had a good talk with Eric. Let's get him on the radio and see what he thinks. Because yeah. I know you do a lot of, you know, draft evaluation. So I know you're pretty in tune with a lot of the rookies. And there is no better place to start than with the Bears QB2, Justin Fields. What have been your thoughts on him from, I know that we've all seen just little bits of him, but so far, what you've heard from him and what you have seen from him, what is your very early evaluation, Eric?
Yeah, I mean, he seems like a pretty confident kid, but also one who knows he's got work to do. And you know, obviously there's some rudimentary stuff that Nagy and company, I mean, you heard them talking about the uttering the play calls and, you know, getting it all down. It's kind of a mouthful. And you know, what they ran at Ohio State was a lot of no huddle and a lot of quick cadences and play calls and stuff. And so, you know, there is a change from that and going under center just a little bit more and, you know, kind of relearning some of the basic stuff. I think he was well taught at Ohio State, so he comes in with a good platform of knowledge. But, you know, I don't know. I walked away thinking that maybe this idea of not sort of putting him out there week one is not a bad idea. I mean, I get it. We're all impatient. We want to see the kid play. You know, from everything I've gathered, Dalton's been, you know, the steady veteran so far, and he's not going to probably kill them at any point. But, you know, I think the sweet spot, Mark, would be squeezing everything you can out of Dalton and making sure Fields is ready, or at least close to ready when he takes over. So you're not throwing him out under, you know, in a bad situation where he doesn't have command and doesn't feel like he can run the show.
Other than some of the rudimentary stuff that you were just discussing, and that stuff is for real, and even Justin Fields admitted that. He's like, yeah, this I am not used to calling the play and the huddle. Yeah. So he understands what he doesn't understand. When you were doing your draft evaluations for Yahoo, what were some of the – remind us of some of the physical things that Justin Fields might need to work on at the NFL level beyond the basics?
Yeah, well, he's a tough kid, but sometimes his pocket presence is a little bit lacking. Now, the more I watched of Ohio State, the more I realized that, you know, it's a school that produces a lot of good offensive line talent, but there seemed to be some chaos up front last year, some communication problems on the line. You know, is that the play call? Is that Fields? Is it the O-line, the five guys up front? You know, is there something else at play that caused some of those issues? It was a matter of, like, picking guys up on stunts and twists and, you know, recognizing blitzes. Some of that is going to be on the quarterback, of course, but some of it is obviously in the offensive line to, you know, count the hats and make sure they're all accounted for. So it was hard for me to really say whether it was Fields or not. However, as tough as he is, he tends to hang in there a little too long at times and can take some hits that I don't think he necessarily has to. Which, you know, as a coach, you want to see your guy upright and not taking those shots. And if it happens and he hit, you know, he absorbs the blow, great. You know, you have a tough customer on your hands. But when you can minimize those, that's a perfect world. Because his running ability, obviously, is so crucial to his game. The other thing would be getting the ball out a hair faster, a hair quicker than he did at Ohio State. There were times where he had to kind of see it, throw it. And that anticipatory skill is something that is, I think, still in development with him, where, you know, had he spent one more year in Ohio State's offense, you would have seen those balls coming out before the receivers turned around. We just didn't see a lot of that. It was almost like they had to flash. He had to see color before he could rip the ball, and he has the arm to do it, but that needs to speed up.
Yeah, and those are some great points by you. One thing that I've gotten to see, and I obviously didn't watch every little thing that he did at Ohio State, yeah. It's really been good, Eric, to see, like, on a few occasions, the touch that he does have on the deep ball, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that you know, if you watched the Clemson game, for instance, the playoff game, the semifinal, I mean, it was the Aaron Water show, man. It was like, you know, it was unbelievable to see the balls that sometimes not with great platforms, you know, sometimes having to throw off his back leg or a little bit off balance too. You know, this isn't Trevor Lawrence sort of setting back and having a bulwark in front of him. You know, I mean, there were times when he had to kind of speed things up a little bit or not throw with the greatest delivery, and he still put those balls right in the breadbasket. And, you know, I mean, the whole Nagy talking about touchdown to touchdown mentality, that's how he read. He read, you know, deep to short. And he threw average yards to distance about as well. I'd have to go back and look at the numbers again, but intermediate and deep was where he was best. They didn't have a crazy screen game to inflate his passing stats. They didn't have a lot of short stuff in their game. I mean, of course they did, but it wasn't what you see so much of in college football, which is just get it out of his hand, throw it, you know, horizontally and let the guy make a miss. It wasn't really like that. It was a lot of, you know, second level and third level stuff. And, you know, it's nice to have the receivers they do, but that's where he's a little bit more advanced, is that touch and that placement downfield, I think.
Talking with Eric Edholm about the Bears and the NFL. Eric Edholm of Yahoo Sports. The other guy I want to ask you about, and it's really difficult to get a read on offensive linemen when they don't have the pads on. But they just signed their second round pick, Tevin Jenkins. And again, going back to your evaluations of him, do you think that Tevin Jenkins is, because it sure sounds like the Bears are trending towards depending on it, do you think Tevin Jenkins will be ready to step in September 12th in prime time and play left tackle for the Chicago Bears?
Yeah, and that's the interesting part, the left tackle part. He did play there. He played at least one game there, started at least one game there each of the last 3 years, but overall was primarily a right tackle. So he can do it. And I had to, you know, I realized that I try to watch 3-4 games on you know, the top 100 picks, the ones who are going to be the most buzzworthy players in the draft. It's a lot of watching. But I realized I hadn't seen him at left tackle. So I had to go back like in April, you know, right before the draft and watch a couple of his games at left tackle, knowing that there was a possibility a team could look at him in that regard. You know, I thought he'd go earlier than he would. The hip injury, you know, seemed to be something that some teams had flagged and got a little concerned about. But, you know, the question is whether he can, you know, and again, the fact that he's done it parts of the last 3 years, I think is very helpful. That footwork, that muscle memory, it's not going to be the same for somebody who, you know, even has all the athletic ability, but just doesn't have the experience. That takes reps and you got to drill it to death. But with him, I think, you know, his experience is going to be good enough where he can step in and try that spot. And, you know, I think the left tackle, right tackle thing is a little overblown because, you know, you think about, you know, Myles Garrett and Von Miller and all those guys who rush off the defensive left side and hit go against right tackle. So that part of it, I think, is a little more overblown. To me, right tackles are just as valuable as left or almost. So, yeah, I think he can. I mean, he had some really dominant performances. It felt like the staff at Oklahoma State needed to kind of cattle prod him a little bit. Because he plays with fire. You see him out there, and he has some stretches where he just looks like a slobber knocker, you know, a mauler, a John Tate type, right?
Yeah, right.
But they're apparently before the season, they had to challenge him a little bit. And, you know, Mike Gundy had to basically say, there's one guy in this weight room right now who's a $40 million player. And, you know, of course, Tevin's looking around like, who's here? Who came in? Is it Barry Sanders? You know,
right,
it's you, man. And it almost felt like it, I don't know if it was a self-confidence thing or what, but it almost felt like they had to kind of nudge him a little to get him going. And he did. He played, had a great season, the short 2 years, but he played really well last year.
Yeah, and that message will not be lost on the Bears coaching staff and
right.
any of the offensive coaches. They're going to kick him in the butt whenever he needs. Hopefully that it's sustainable from what he learned to have that fire in college,
yep.
But they will certainly keep on him. That is for sure. One other guy that I want to ask you about is on the defense, and that is a Bears. We're going all the way down to the bottom, a seventh-round pick of the Bears, Kyrus Tonga, defensive tackle out of BYU. And I got to ask you about him because we think Eddie Goldman's going to be in training camp, but we just don't know what's going on with Eddie Goldman. And
right.
I'm not sure that even if Goldman is out, I don't think the plan and the depth chart is necessarily to have Tonga step right in at that nose tackle spot. But what did the Bears have in Kyrus Tonga?
Yeah, I mean, just a massive man. I think he's a little overage, too. I think he could be like 24 or something like that. But, you know, a really big dude who I liked him when he was more of sort of the gap plugger type. You know, you saw him try to shoot gaps a little bit and make those tackles for loss and stuff, which is great. Nobody turns those down, right? But there were times when I felt like he got a little aggressive. So it's sort of finding that balance for him of, you know, playing like a guy who's going to be stronger, you know, than an ox and stronger than a lot of the centers and bigger, a lot of the guards and centers he faces, using those physical gifts and knowing how to win those leverage battles while also trying to, you know, make those plays when they're there. I think, and this is me speculating a little bit, I have no scout told me this or anything, they didn't have a ton of playmakers on that BYU defense in the front. I mean, they had good linebackers, good secondary, felt like the D-line. They almost kind of let those guys, you know, just sort of hold the point a little bit. But I think Tonga was allowed to maybe have a little bit more flexibility up front, and a little bit more freedom to kind of make those plays. Do I think he's going to be that in the NFL? Probably not. Like you said, seventh round pick. I mean,
right.
I thought he'd go a little earlier than that, Mark. But, you know, I thought fifth, sixth was more his landing spot. So I think they got really good value. A lot of their picks seem like good values this year. And he, because of that situation, not knowing what the depth is up front, not knowing where Goldman is exactly, or at least we don't know, right? He might be a player to watch.
Yeah, I hope he is, man. I hope he's one of those guys that you're like, ooh, he's a seventh-round pick and he's making a contribution. That would be
right.
Great for the Bears' sake. Eric, great catching up with you the other day and today, and I assume that I will see you probably about a month from now when we all reassemble in Lake Forest for training camp.
It's a little easier commute than Bourbonnais, so I appreciate that.
No doubt about it, man. Eric, thanks, brother. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right, buddy. Take it easy.
Yep. That is Eric Edholm. Follow him on Twitter. He of Yahoo Sports at Eric underscore Edholm. I kind of miss like the you know, and I can say this as a single man who, again, whom nobody really depends on for much. Like, I enjoyed the Bourbonnais experience, the getting away. And it's not like we're going that far, but it's just remote enough in Bourbonnais that, you know, I live in the heart of the city to get out of the concrete jungle and just kind of live in my own little Bourbonnais Bears world for a couple of weeks. I actually really enjoyed it. You know, living in a dorm room, having, you know, Joniak and Thayer as my neighbors down the hall, hanging out, watching baseball at night with Chris Emma at Buffalo Wild Wings. I mean, I'm just waxing poetic. But, yeah, it'll all be going down in Lake Forest. And we don't know yet if – I got a feeling there's going to be fans allowed in Lake Forest, but obviously you're not going to have the same amount in Bourbonnais. And I don't know how that would work, but I'm pretty sure the plan, at least, is to allow some fans into training camp. And I'm sure that over, you know, in years to come, that will expand and develop and progress and all of that. But we're all standing by. I'm curious about that as well. One text here from the 26, a couple of text messages. Grody, nobody's talking about the Bears D. Where is Goldman? Will the defensive line be better than last year? Screen and Fuller are gone. Can Jackson, Vildor, Johnson maintain the DB group? Well, first of all, yeah, I mean, it kind of just talked about Eddie Goldman. I don't know what's up with Eddie Goldman. I really don't. You know, I know that the Bears aren't particularly pleased that he didn't show up to the mandatory minicamp, but I don't know his side of the story and, you know, what has gone into it. So we'll wait for training camp, and I'll try to gather as much info between now and then about Eddie Goldman, but there's really not a lot to say. And if he shows up and he's in shape and he's good to go, then no harm, no foul with Eddie Goldman. But, you know, that's an if still right now. If he is in training camp, if he is engaged, all of that stuff. So standing by to find out about that. I will say this, as far as the secondary is concerned, yeah, there will be a competition for the cornerback spot opposite of Jalen Johnson. And I can tell you, one guy that has stood out has been the second-year, fifth-round pick out of Georgia Southern, and that's Kendall Vildor. He's had a couple of interceptions, a couple of just nice pass breakups. Vildor seems like, in the small sample size, is taking that classic, you know, knows what he's doing now jump, so it is possible that he gets it. Obviously, Desmond Trufant was brought in, but he has a mighty injury history over the last couple of years. I mean, I keep thinking that he's the guy that's penciled in as the starter due to his experience, but, you know, Kendall Vildor is certainly showing me something. He's still got Artie Burns around. Trey Roberson's still on the roster, a couple of guys who competed and were ultimately not on the 53-man last year, so it is definitely going to be interesting to watch. You're good with Eddie Jackson and Tashawn Gibson. As far as the nickelback with Buster Skrine having gone, now you have to think about, like, is Duke Shelley gonna take that next step up? Are you looking at one of the other rookies, or like a Thomas Graham Jr.? There are positions to be had, and I'm sure that they will all get close looks from Sean Desai and the Bears, you know, defensive staff once we get into Bourbonnais. When we return, we have what Mark heard, which, by the way, is all Bears, a bunch of really good Bears cuts. And we will begin the segment. I'll Bears. Tell you exactly what I think and how I feel about what has gone on with the Bears flirting with and putting a bid in for Arlington International Racecourse, which could potentially in the future be the home of the Chicago Bears. I'll let you know what I think about that. That is next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Rack and Yak.
It's time for What Mark Heard on Saturday Suckage with Mark Grody and Steve Rosenblum.
Boy, everyone is stupid except me.
Before we get to some of the sound, the Bears made a financial proposal to Arlington International Racecourse to potentially purchase the property, which presumably could be used to build a new Bears stadium in Arlington Heights. And I'd say like 100% of it makes sense, right? Like you get a bigger stadium, more people can come, everybody makes more money. A lot of people who are from the suburbs are the ones that are trekking it down to the city to watch Bears games. They're just like, you could have a Super Bowl, concerts, all of that stuff. So there's really, like, I can't objectively look at that scenario and say anything bad about it, because it's really, like, point for point for point, it would probably be a practical move, if not one that makes everybody better and more fortified and more fulfilled and all of that, from the fans to employees to ownership to facilities to everything. It would affect the players, the fans, I don't know about the media, who cares about the media, in a good way. There are not a lot of downsides, unless I guess you are living in Arlington Heights and you don't really want all that rigmarole and all the craziness of having a football team in your town for, you know, eight or nine weekends per year. And so that's, I guess, that I'm not looking at it from the suburban perspective and the people who are there and don't care about the Bears. So I guess that's a real potential detraction from it. So all of that said, like, it all makes sense. It's 100% probably a good idea. Hey, I hate it. I don't like it because, look, I never like the idea of any of the Chicago sports teams leaving Chicago, leaving this great city. There is something about it that I like, and I know of all the examples of other teams around the league, starting with the New York teams that are playing in venues outside of their great big cities as well. But if the Bears move, like I said, I can't deny that would be good for a lot of reasons, but if I had to vote, I would say no. And it does come from kind of a meat-headed perspective. I totally admit that. I love Soldier Field. I love the lake. I love the where it is. I love the museums. I love walking home on the lake after covering a Bears a noon game, leaving around 5 or 6 o'clock and making the hour and a half trek back to my place. I love everything about it, so I would not care for this occurring. I would prefer that the Bears used all that leverage to get what do you want, get everything you want, knock the thing down, build it back up. There are all these impractical things that I'm going to bring up between now and whenever this topic comes up. So I guess I come from a place of conflict, understanding the advantages, yet not being able to separate myself from the idea of the Chicago Bears moving out of the city of Chicago. I don't like it.
You know
I don't
what,
like it.
You know what, Grody? I bet you would get over it the first time you walk into an 80,000 capacity stadium that's state of the art, and that you were able to take the train to right outside the stadium. Like, I feel like you'd get over it pretty quick.
I mean, I'll say this. I have gotten over the idea of the Bears need to play outdoors. Like, I'm down with a dome. Like, when I was a kid or in high school, I was like, I believed in Bears weather and all of that. But now, just watching players struggle when it's freezing damn cold out, that's no fun. It's no fun for anybody when it's cold out, and it changes the game, and it's very possible we wouldn't have this list of delinquent quarterbacks through the years if the Bears didn't play in the terrain in which they've had to play for their entire existence, going back to Wrigley Field and Soldier Field, and before that in Decatur.
Plus, be selfish too, Mark. It'll help you as the sideline reporter. You won't have to wear like four layers for a 0-degree Sunday night game, you know?
Dude, there is nothing novel about that. You know what I mean? Like, it's like I have the one game that I remember most was at Green Bay game. I think it was 2019, because 2018 was that opening night, which was awesome until it sucked. But the 2019 game at Green Bay, day game, and I was did everything one can possibly do to be warm, the little heater things in my gloves and layered and all that stuff, and by like 5 minutes into the first quarter, I just wanted to go home and cry. So, yeah, no, from a selfish standpoint, I like the indoorsiness idea, but on the overall, yeah, I'm still married to the idea of my sports teams playing in the city of Chicago. And one other point about that. I've heard a lot of the text reaction that I've seen from being on the air over the last 3 days as this story has broken has been, you know, people from the suburbs say, awesome, now it's only a 10-minute drive for me, or it's closer to me, it's in the suburbs. I grew up in the suburbs. My parents still live in the suburbs. I love going to the city for Bears games. Like, it was part of it. It was like, it's like a destiny of going to the big city. Like, people, like, Chicago is awesome. It is awesome to be, it is awesome to have, especially if you live in the suburbs. It's like, you want an excuse to go to the city, and I think that that's just part of it. So, I understand some people are going with the practical, oh, I only have a 7-minute drive now. But I don't know. I always thought that that was part of it. And maybe, yes, there is some opportunity cost when it comes to getting into Soldier Field and getting out of it. But if you've planned your day right, then you just know you're in it for the long term. So that's where I stand on things as far as a potential down-the-road move out of Soldier Field. But it would be a long time before that occurred, and there's a lot of things that would have to happen. There would be a lot of loud conversations right here on the Score before any of that would go down. All right, we don't have a lot of time left, so I'm going to get right to what I thought this week was the most important revelation in terms of what's going on with Justin Fields. I've left the question on there. It's Hub Arcus. You will hear the question and the answer from Matt Nagy right now. Here it is.
Andy wasn't available week one or week two. Does this mean that Justin automatically gets his first start, or do you then have to reevaluate the depth chart?
So I'd say two things to that. So number one, as you all know, and I understand too, like that, when you draft a quarterback in the first round and you trade up and get the guy, I completely understand the questions that are going to come, you know, each day, and just kind of wanting to know who's the guy going to be at this day or that day or this week or that week. And so I get that. And to answer your second question, I would say this, when you're the number two quarterback, and in that situation that you're presenting to me, then yes, he would be the guy. But when you talk through this, that's where it's like, you know, these quarterbacks, all three guys, just because they're in that spot right now, we've explained, and I specifically have explained to each one of those guys that you're doing everything you possibly can to be as competitive as possible and be the starting quarterback and the best quarterback you can be for the Bears. And so I'm taking a little bit of time here to say this because I know that these questions could go on and on each and every day, but out of just politeness from me and respect, as we go here moving forward, I'm just going to, like, I'll give you updates as we go as to how the guys are doing. But as far as the depth chart goes, this is where we're at with Andy as the one, with Justin as the two, with Nick as the three. But all three of those guys know that you need to produce, you need to play well, you need to compete, you need to be the best quarterback you can be. And then it's going to be really pretty easy for us to be able to see who that is and how that goes. And then there'll be a process and a plan. We're going to stick to that. It's not going to change tomorrow. That plan's not going to change tomorrow. The plan is not going to change in training camp. The plan is a plan, and it's been thought out. And so as we go, I'm just taking some time on this question because I think, you know, this could go every day. And I just want you to know that's kind of, as we go here, where I'm at, you know. And so depth chart wise. Yep. But to go back to your original question, Hub, if that was the case, yes, then Justin would be our starter.
This is fascinating. That's Bears head coach Matt Nagy. It's fascinating because the plan does change, like, massively if Andy Dalton is to get hurt. And you had to ask this question. It was good on Hub to do it. Hub and I have talked about this. Hub Arkish stepped up, asked the question, and the plan changes because then everything that they're doing goes out the door. If Justin Fields is QB2 right now, that means that if he is to get injured, Andy Dalton gets injured on August 28th, their final preseason game, all of a sudden it's Justin Fields, the starter, on September 12th, and out the door goes the Bears' plans, which they believe in 100%, that Justin Fields should not start this season. So it is kind of interesting that it wouldn't be Nick Foles in that scenario. Like, I like it. Trust me. Like, I'm very happy to hear that Justin Fields is QB2 and that he would be the guy going in. But it does go against the Bears' plans of what they're trying to do and trying to delicately treat and train Justin Fields to be the quarterback for a long time at a very high level. But all of a sudden, if Dalton gets hurt, it's right into the fire for you, which I like, but it goes against what the Bears' plan is and what they are saying. So I thought that was a good question by Hub and a good answer by Matt Nagy too. Just very interesting, and I'm glad that he was up front in saying that he is QB2. All right, let's hear from Justin Fields, because it was, I think, only the second time that we've heard from Fields since they started the preseason program, and I was part of this Zoom, because really, all of this comes down to Fields. Not what he wants, but what he can accomplish and what he could show them. We'll know it when we see it, so it is important to hear from Justin Fields, and he says he's just going to be patient.
I mean, of course I feel it, but, you know, great things don't happen all at once. So I'm just going to be patient. And of course, like I said earlier, I mean, I've been in this situation before where, you know, I've had to learn behind a guy. So this is nothing new for me. I'm just, you know, going to take it day by day and get better each and every day. I'm going to trust, you know, Coach Nagy and, you know, the whole coaching staff here to, you know, develop me and make me the best quarterback that I can be.
There's a couple of important things, and that was Justin Fields. At the beginning of that, I had asked him, do you feel it from the fans wanting you to start? And that's why he said, of course I feel it, just to give you a little bit of context to the beginning of what he said there. So Fields, like, it sounds genuine, when in another response he had said that, yeah, there are definitely things that I got to learn. Like he said, look, I didn't do a lot of calling plays in huddles at Ohio State, as all that came from the sideline. We heard Eric Edholm telling us that he used a lot of hurry up in term, or no huddle, I should say, when he was at Ohio State. So he has been honest in saying, yeah, this is I got to learn. Here was maybe the best part, though, for me, that he said. He offered to us that he's a quick learner, and that's important. And I don't think one would offer that if they really weren't. And we know from, you know, looking back at all of his academic smarts and football, like he's got it all in that regard. So we'll know it when we see it. Maybe we'll see it soon, because Justin Fields is a quick learner. Thanks for listening to Suckage Express today. I'm Mark Grody. Thank you to Eric Edholm and Scott Merkin for coming on the show today. Thank you to the Trash Panda, Adam Studs-Dzinski, for producing the show today. Cubs baseball is next. Cubs in Miami, Zach Zaman pregame. Pat and Ron with the call at 1:20. Have a great rest of your weekend. Happy birthday, Gary Grody. You're 80. I'll see you soon.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So, kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
It.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.